Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So, buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot and Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. It's the 28th of October, Friday night edition of the show. Welcome to it. Hello, Diane.
Hello, Craig, and how are you today?
Well, you know, I'm pretty good, I guess.
Okay.
I found out this afternoon, this is kind of interesting, because we have talked about both of these people on the air from time to time, and quite a bit recently, in fact. But Tulsi Gabbard is going to be campaigning with Kristi Noem in South Dakota next week.
That's pretty cool.
She's going to make two campaign stops in South Dakota. Kristi is running for her second term as governor of South Dakota. And Tulsi Gabbard is campaigning with Kristi against the liberal that's trying to take the governorship.
Wow, good for her.
So that's kind of interesting. I suspect we'll hear a little bit about that. I think both appearances are next Wednesday.
Okay.
If I remember right. So, you know, I suppose in the, you know, by late Wednesday, early Thursday, we'll hear something from that. So that's going to be kind of interesting next week up there in South Dakota.
Yeah, well, Tulsi Gabbard, I think she's going to be becoming more involved now that she's away from Democrats.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's going to start making her inroads again.
Well, and last night was the big Hannity town hall thing down there in Florida, and it had some people on there that nobody's ever heard of. This guy Marco something or other, and this guy Ron something or other, you know, were kind of the featured people on that stage last night, and you know, that, yeah, I mean, it was kind of boring. Nobody was excited.
That speech was so speech. It was a town hall, actually.
Yeah.
And it was so great. I mean, Ron DeSantis just shined.
Yeah, DeSantis. That's the last name. Yeah, yeah. I was missing that.
Marco Rubio was exceptional.
Yeah.
Rick Scott did terrific. Sean Hannity was great. I put it up today all over, and I said, Sean Hannity's greatest show ever. And it's going crazy, especially on the DeSantis sites and on the Marco sites.
I got to tell you, Marco was on fire last night. He came out there just revved up.
Oh, yeah. He made mincemeat of Val Demings, but the best line from him was when he said Demings was complaining that he's pretending to know something about foreign affairs. Yeah. And Marco goes, I'm paraphrasing, I was the head of the Foreign Affairs Committee. I'm now the vice chair of the Foreign Affairs Committee. Guess what, Demings? That's my job.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was a great show. It was a lot of fun to hear from all three of those guys. Rick Scott and Marco Rubio and what was that Ron guy's last name again? I keep forgetting.
Ron
DeSantis. Yeah.
Well, the best news.
Nobody's ever heard of that guy. So.
Yeah. Well, the best news we're getting here in Florida is Ron DeSantis is up anywhere between 15 and 17 points, and Marco is now 13 points ahead of Demings.
Right.
So it looks like, you know, hopefully as Florida goes, the country will go.
You know, we can hope, you know, mm-hmm. we got what, 10 days left, 11 days left.
That's about, well,
what is it?
8, 9, 10, 11 days.
11 days, yeah. So, yeah, it's going to come around fast.
Yes, it is, and it's going to be an exciting day. And I'm one of the few that I believe in voting on Election Day. I think that's the safest, where the least tampering goes around. So it should be quite interesting.
Yeah, we can't do that here.
Oh, that's right. You only have mail-in, right?
Yeah, our entire county is only mail-in. So, okay. Well, you can go drop it off yourself, and that's what we do. So,
well, the one good thing about Florida, we've had voter ID for years. You can't vote without showing your ID.
Yeah, we're trying to get it here. You know, maybe they can get it through the unicameral this year. I don't know. Gonna try.
Good. All right. Hopefully they do.
We got a whole bunch of stuff to talk about tonight, folks. I mean, a whole bunch of stuff. And, of course, the big breaking news, very early this morning, was that Nancy Pelosi's husband, Paul Pelosi, was the victim of an attack in their home in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, I mean, even though they're Democrats, you know, and we don't like them, nobody deserves that kind of thing, you know, where you're not even safe in your own home anymore. But there are some, Craig, I find a couple of little picadillos in this whole scenario.
Yeah, you know, but, you know, we got to be careful, though, because there's so much just loose information floating around. Floating around out there, and none of it has been verified at all, and we're getting so many different stories from so many different places.
Stories.
Yeah, conflicting stories. So mm-hmm. We don't want to say that, you know, it was this or it was that. We simply don't know.
Well, the only thing that really bothers me is Pelosi's home was security controlled, security monitored, and et cetera. And most people now in Congress, I read earlier today that they were all given a certain amount of money for security for their home. But Pelosi and her husband, being that what he did, he was involved with some kind of stock trading or whatever, they've always had security. How was their security breached? All of a sudden, the security is breached?
We don't know. You know, I mean, that's one of the things we don't know. We don't know that it was actually breached. We don't know that they had security guards, posted outside. We know.
No, I think they probably meant security systems.
Well, I'm just going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say I don't think the system was breached. I think when this guy, we know the name, it's David DePape, DePape, DePape. We know that the police were summoned, called, alerted. I'm guessing when DePape went through the door, it set off the alarm, and police were not far away, and they were there literally within a couple of minutes. But we don't know that for sure because the police haven't said how they got alerted to the fact that there was a problem there. What we know from the police at this point is that police officers showed up for a quote-unquote welfare check. Now, that makes me believe that an automatic alarm tripped, alerted the police to a break-in, and they went there to find out what was happening.
Well, here's something on the other end, conflicting. It was by an attorney, the last name Dillion, who said that my firm served a lawsuit against Paul Pelosi in San Francisco after attempting to serve at another one of their residences. They weren't home, but staff were, and multiple law enforcement officers were on the perimeter. Break-in is odd given this level of security. So we're getting two totally different conflicting stories. Eventually, Well, in Democrats San Francisco, we might never really know the truth. But hopefully, at least, it'll all coalesce into one believable story.
Well, we hope, you know, and I'll trust the police to tell us what happened. You know, we're going to get closer to the truth by waiting for an official word from the police. You know, when they come out and talk more about it, which may be later tonight, maybe tomorrow, we don't know.
Is their police department woke?
I don't think they're very happy because, you know, the police department there, like so many different police departments, even on the West Coast, you know, Nancy Pelosi doesn't like the police. I don't care what she says now because, you know, of course she's, you know, changing her tune now. Oh, right. Yes, we support the police. You know, that's what all the liberals are saying now. But, you know, a year ago they were all about defunding the police. And remember, you know, with this whole George Floyd thing, Nancy and Chuck Schumer and all those morons, they put on some phony African scarves and all went out to the rotunda in the Capitol and took a knee.
Yeah, I mean, that was a disgrace. That was an absolute disgrace to the country. But, you know, it's also quite telling the reaction to the attack on Paul Pelosi. And no one should be attacked like that. However, do you remember when Rand Paul was attacked and how Pelosi's daughter actually came out and said that, you know, Rand Paul's neighbor was right? That's a quote from a tweet she put out. She was forced to take down the tweet, or Twitter took it down themselves. But to show the difference between those nasty sorts, Rand Paul, who was the sum of this, the tweet by Pelosi's daughter, he came out and said that no one deserves to be assaulted. Unlike Nancy Pelosi's daughter, who celebrated my assault, I condemn this attack and wish Mr. Pelosi a speedy recovery.
Good for him.
That shows the difference between our side and their side.
Well, and there's you can point to plenty of hypocrisy in that respect, too, because remember when Steve Scalise got shot? Mm-hmm. Remember just not that long ago when somebody showed up outside of Justice Brett Kavanaugh's home to kill
him?
They
didn't care.
They didn't care. They were kind of giddy, you know, about that. And you don't see that kind of reaction from the right in a case like this. Paul Pelosi's 82 years old. Now, here's what we know. These are the few things that we actually know. The guy who got into the house and attacked Paul Pelosi, his name is David DePepe. Okay? Yes. We know he was screaming because we get this from the police. We know he was screaming, "Where's Nancy? Where's Nancy?" We know as the police got there that DePepe and Paul Pelosi were struggling over a hammer, and Pepe got the hammer away from Pelosi, DePepe, I should say, got the hammer away from Pelosi and began hitting Pelosi in the head with the hammer. We know that Paul Pelosi suffered a skull fracture and was taken to the hospital. And we know that when the police arrested DePepe, he was only wearing underwear.
Well, here's another very interesting thing. First of all, we're not sure who the hammer belonged to. Was it Pelosi's hammer? Or was it DePepe's hammer? There's conflicting stories there. But if you're a police officer and you're walking in and you're somebody, you see somebody attacking somebody else with a hammer, why didn't they shoot him?
Well, because at that point, right off the bat, when you walk into a situation like that, it's 2:27 in the morning. It's going to be dark, most likely, in the house. We don't know that any lights are on. But you're a cop. You walk in there, and you don't know exactly who's who. So you got two people struggling over a hammer. You may not know Paul Pelosi by sight. Now, if I walked into Paul Pelosi on the street, I probably wouldn't recognize who he was.
I think the police know very well.
Well,
he is.
I think the upper echelon of the police do, but what about the guys on patrol at 2:30 in the morning? Okay.
They're patrolling. Remember, this is a very elite neighborhood. When you have that kind of money clustered in one small area, the police know every single person there.
Okay, so I'll take your word for it. Let's say they do recognize Paul Pelosi and this DePepe guy, and they're both struggling for the hammer. That means they're in very close proximity to one another. You don't shoot DePepe because you might hit Pelosi.
Whole thing,
they tackled him. They wound up tackling the attacker. So that's how they stopped it.
I'm not saying this didn't happen. And, you know, I'm sorry that he had to have surgery. Apparently he's going to be okay. They fixed the fracture, you know, whatever the doctors do regarding a head injury like that. And they say he's going to make a complete recovery, which is good. But there's something bothering me about this whole scenario.
It's a weird deal.
Security is on. I wonder about what state Paul Pelosi was in, to be honest.
Well, I'm sure he'll be up and drinking in no time. But if he was drunk when he went to bed last night, Paul Pelosi has been known to get hammered. He may not have locked the door. He may have turned on the security, but not locked the door. We just don't know. And that's we can add that to the myriad of things we don't know about
staff,
what happened.
And the staff was where? Here it is. We have the lawyer who tried to serve something on them when they weren't home, who said there's staff there all the time and a police presence on the perimeter. There's too many unanswered. Yes, this happened. It's true. It happened. But I
don't know. I mean,
I'm not going off into conspiracy Alex Jones land by any means. But there's too many conflicting stories here.
I mean, I can understand a police presence if Nancy Pelosi is there, and by there I don't necessarily mean in the house, but I mean in town, or, you know, coming and going from the house. I can understand having a police presence there. If it's Paul Pelosi by himself, then maybe not. I don't know. Does the staff spend the night there? I don't know. I mean,
no, we don't know any of this.
You know, so what we're saying, folks, is you're going to see a lot of stuff tonight, tomorrow morning, floating around social media. You know, we tried to find a picture of this David DePepe, and we found a dozen different pictures of different people under the heading David DePepe. So, you know, don't take anything for granted. Don't believe anything you read on social media with this thing right now, because nobody knows. That's you know, really what we're saying. What we do know is that Paul Pelosi was attacked. There's no call for that. We know the guy apparently was looking for Nancy Pelosi. There's no call to attack her. You know, I mean, this kind of thing. San Francisco's a violent town.
Yeah, but you're forgetting one thing. Right now, you know, they're like holding their breaths. Certain sites are reporting it, other sites are not reporting it, about the allegiance of this attacker.
Right.
Now, folks, the guy is from Berkeley, California, one of the bastions of liberalism.
Yeah.
I seriously doubt this is a far-right radical. This could just be a crazy liberal loon.
It could very well be, or just a loon. Not really affiliated with any party. Could just be a lunatic of some sort.
Well,
could be Antifa, for all we know. We don't know. The guy's 42 years old. We don't know anything about him other than he's nuts because he broke into the Pelosi home, beat up Paul Pelosi, was looking for Nancy, and wasn't wearing anything but his underwear.
Underwear, yeah. I mean, it could be a homeless drug addict, for all we know. we really just don't know.
So don't believe anything until official word comes out. Now, I'll believe the police before I believe anything comes from Nancy Pelosi or her office.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know?
So I'll wait and hear from the police chief, and then we'll make a determination. Obviously, we're going to know a lot more when we get on the air on Tuesday. So,
or they're going to hush it all up, and this is the sum total of what we're going to know.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's going to be a hard thing to hush up. You know, I mean, it really is. But you never say never.
Right. You know? Not in liberal land, you don't.
Not in liberal land. So Elon Musk now owns Twitter. He took control last night. And Diane, what was the first thing he did?
Oh, dear. He fired the CEO, the CFO, and the head of the legal policy, trust, and safety division.
Boom, boom, boom. Out the door you go.
Yeah. And I love when he walked in with the sink, you're sunk.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, you said, you know, put out a tweet right then. He said, entering Twitter headquarters, let that sink in.
Yeah.
You know, you got to love it. I mean, you just got to love it. He's large and in charge over there at Twitter right now, even as we speak. And I got to tell you, folks, the meltdown from the liberal media is epic. It's epic.
Oh, yeah. There's so much. I mean, they're losing their heads over it. And in fact, one of the loons, the liberal loons, said this deal gives Musk sole control of one of the most important global platform for political speech and social discourse. In a way, yes, it does. But in a way, it doesn't, because he says he's going to let free speech from both sides on.
Right. Now, a guy from the Washington Post, he's a columnist, his name's Taylor Lorenz, he said, quote, "It's like the gates of hell opened on this site tonight," unquote. The gates of hell!
Yeah.
Let's see here. Jeff Jarvis, he's a journalism professor, called the takeover of Twitter by Musk an emergency. He said Twitter is being taken over by the evil Sith Lord.
Oh, dear.
I'm not making this stuff up. He later came back.
I'm hoping Musk goes after Facebook next.
No kidding. Later he came back and he said, "The sun is dark." Whatever the hell that means. A former HuffPost writer by the name of Michael Hobbs said he was finding it pretty hard to make jokes about Elon buying Twitter. He said nearly, get this one shows you just how butt stupid these people are. This guy, Michael Hobbs, is a former Huffington Post writer. He says, and I quote, "Nearly every American media institution is now openly right-wing or obsessed with giving reactionaries the benefit of the doubt. What's the case for optimism about the next decade at this point?" Really? Nearly every American media institution is now openly right-wing? Really?
Well, here's another one. Black Twitter is stunned by racist tweets taking over app after Elon Musk purchase.
What the hell does that even mean?
Who knows? I mean, these people are totally insane. To put it mildly, they're totally insane. But folks, you have to understand, everybody's saying, yes, Elon Musk took over Twitter. He did. But he's not the sole owner of Twitter. He has investors who went in with him to purchase this.
I know. But he's...
forget that.
But he's the controlling interest.
He's the controlling, you know, amount. He's the head. But he's not the sole owner of it. When you buy into a share of something, you own a small part of it. And people are forgetting that.
Now, here's a guy by the name of Mike Masnick. Okay. Now, he was standing up for this Vijaya woman. Well, what's her name? Vijaya. She was the one in charge of censorship. Mm-hmm. Over at Twitter. He says, people do not realize how much Vijaya did for free speech. Okay. Well, let me tell you what she did for free speech. She stifled it. She censored conservatives. That was her whole job.
Right.
You know, these people have lost their minds.
Well, there's also one thing very interesting as well. Elon Musk is what's known as a free speech absolutionist. That's how he calls himself. And he is now advertising for people to advertise on Twitter.
Right.
But he made it very, very clear to the would-be advertisers that the platform cannot and will not become a free-for-all hellscape.
Right. And that's fine. You know, but if you've got a dissenting opinion, and that means an opinion that dissents from the far liberal Marxist left, you're still going to be allowed to air your opinion on Twitter.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And that's what free speech is.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Now, in the couple of minutes that we got left in this segment, let me be perfectly clear about something here. The reason the liberals, the Marxists, the loony left, the media left, the reason they're melting down over this is because their monopoly over speech has ended.
Correct.
They're not afraid that Elon Musk is going to destroy the platform. They're afraid, and rightly so, that they're not going to be able to use the platform to control elections anymore.
They have Facebook for that.
Yeah.
You forget that. They have Facebook for that.
Well, I know. But you know, the thing is, with Twitter being free, you know, free speech, a free speech zone now, so to speak, mm-hmm. a lot of people that used to, you know, cross their fingers, people like you, Diane, who've been in Facebook jail 6,000 times. Okay. And they used to, you know, you put up something political and you kind of cross your fingers, go, boy, I hope this doesn't piss off the Twitter gods. You know, now those people are going to know that they can go over and put whatever they want up on Twitter and they're not going to get banned. The cancel culture, snowflake, censorship, loony left liberal crybabies are no longer in charge of Twitter.
And here's another good thing about that. We might start seeing the death of wokeism.
If this is the first nail in that coffin, I'm plenty happy about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of very positives about Musk taking it over. You know, the man who now votes Republican.
I know.
There's a lot of positives in this. There really is, and maybe it will filter down to the other major platforms. Because really, what are the other major platforms beside Twitter? You have Facebook, MeWe to a lesser degree, way lesser degree, but it is still now a somewhat major platform. It might really start filtering down across the board.
You know, when outfits like Google start seeing that Twitter stock is going up because of free speech, maybe that'll sink into their thick skulls that they need to relax their censorship at places like Google and YouTube and so on.
And Microsoft could be affected by it as well.
Right.
I mean, this is a thing that's going to affect social media across the board.
It is. It's a good thing. And congratulations to Elon Musk for pulling all the financing and the people together to make this happen. And you know what I'm looking forward to in the 30 seconds we got left here? I'm looking forward to finding out just how many fake freaking accounts were over there on Twitter because they wouldn't tell him.
Right. Oh, he knows now. I'm sure he knows.
Well, he's going to have his people go through it. not the Twitter staff. He's right. going to have his people go through it, and he'll get a final accounting.
Oh, there's going to be a lot of pink slips given out over at Twitter.
I'll tell you what. If you own stock in pink slip paper, you're rich.
Yeah.
You're rich now because that stock's going to skyrocket. Look, we got to the end of this segment, the bottom of the hour. That's what I was trying to say. So we need to take a quick break, get a couple of station IDs in. We got a couple more big topics we want to talk about, including Biden lying again. We'll tell you about what coming up in a little bit. And when we come back from the break, we're talking about Obama on damage control. More on that and plenty of other stuff coming up on Right Side Patriots right after this.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi, guys. Diane Sori from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out the National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sori at the Patriot Factor, getting you through the Friday night edition of the show. Yeah, I'll tell you what, October's almost over.
I just can't wait till October 9th. I mean, November 9th.
Yeah, then we'll have something to celebrate. You know, if you miss any part of the show tonight, all you have to do is go to rspradio1.com tomorrow morning, click the podcast button, and the whole show will be right there along with all the rest of them.
Yes.
All right, so Obama is on damage control. They have dispatched him to the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania in the wake of the disaster that was Fetterman on the debate stage.
And I love how that debate started off. You know, he walks out, and before he even gets to debate anything, good night, folks. I mean, the man has had a very serious stroke. He is not mentally or physically capable of being senator from any state. However, you know, the Democrats being as conniving as they are, all he has to do is get elected and he can resign for medical reasons and turn it over to his wife.
Oh, yes. Yes, his wife, who now says, who came out today and actually said that swimming is racist. Swimming.
Yes. Swimming. Yeah. And it has to do with, well, black children don't know how to swim as well as white children. Give me a break.
Well,
really, I mean, everything to liberals is racist.
You know, I what do you do? You know, You're a white guy. You see a black kid. You throw the black kid in the deep end of the pool. You get arrested for that.
Right.
You know, but you know, and you'll be called a racist. Well, you threw a black kid into the deep end of the pool. You racist. Well, it's just trying to teach him how to swim. Well, but swimming is racist. You racist.
Yeah, no, everything with them is
what do you do? Racist. You know, but yeah, they sent Obama, who apparently can't swim because swimming is racist. We don't know if he can swim. But they sent him to Pennsylvania to do damage control. Now, doing damage control regarding the Fetterman debate debacle is kind of like standing on the deck of the Titanic asking people if they want ice in their drinks.
Yeah, well, what's very telling about this, after the debate and when the polls were taken, only 18% of viewers believed that Fetterman won, and a whopping 82% believed that Dr. Oz did. And that's because Dr. Oz spoke about the issues. He was focused. He knew his stuff.
Well,
Fetterman was just like a younger Biden. He was stumbling over everything.
Well, but that's what happens when a guy who was previously an abject idiot has a stroke.
Yeah, it makes it even worse, right?
It doesn't help the situation any. Listen, to be perfectly honest with you, Dr. Oz could have won that debate if he just said good night, everybody, at the end of the debate instead of at the front of the debate. That's all Oz needed to do to win.
Yeah.
You know, because Fetterman, you know, they asked him about fracking and they said, well, you know, you have this thing from, you know, 2018 where you're on tape and you say you're against fracking. There's no good reason to, you know, for fracking. You're against fracking. And, you know, now you say you're in favor of fracking. So which is it? And he couldn't even formulate an answer. But I know why. You know, because it's 2 weeks till the election. I know why.
They were ordered. The Democrats were told by Pelosi, you need to focus on the economy now. You need to focus on crime. You need to focus on the police. Everything that they did not focus on, you now have to focus on. However, Obama is going into Pennsylvania, and how he is going to sort of speak to the Democrats is he has now linked the democracy and abortion together.
Right.
And
right. Yeah, that makes all the sense in the world. That's like Stacey Abrams the other day came out and said, you know, the way to beat inflation is to have an abortion.
Yeah. Oh, well, she's just an abject idiot. I mean, there's no, you know, no difference whatsoever between her and an abject idiot. But what Obama was doing is, if you want our democracy, if you value our democracy and you value a woman's right to choose, even up until the moment of birth, to have an abortion, you got to vote Democratic. This is insanity. But you have to remember, Obama is behind all of this.
Where was Obama when women who did not want to wear a mask or did not want to get the jab were forced to do so through mandates? Was it their body, their choice then?
No. And there's a reason for that, because most of the people who did not take the jab are on our side.
Most of the people that did not take the jab are not dying.
Correct. Hey, don't give too much away. That has something to do with my article for Tuesday.
I'm just saying, you know, I mean, but yeah, I mean, oh yeah, if you want our democracy to stand, you have to vote in a way that allows abortion up to the moment of birth, or maybe even after.
Well, the after is from Gavin Newsom, who was so dying to become president. You know, he's now, you can abort a baby that's already been born up to a year old. Well, if the baby's already been born, it's not aborted. If you are going to do something to a baby and take its life up to a year old, that's called murder.
Yeah, we have a legal term for that.
Yeah, infanticide or just murder.
Murder, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, this
premeditated
murder. Mm-hmm. They're pinning their whole hopes, and somehow they got Obama doing it. They got Obama doing it, pinning their whole hopes. They got 11 days left, and he's telling them still this is all about abortion on November 8th. Hello. It's about the economy, stupid.
This is his platform. He's behind everything that is being done. So now he has to go out there and he has to justify basically his platform.
Well, he's making a colossal fool of himself because people are not standing around the water cooler or sitting around the kitchen table talking about abortion. They're talking about the price of gas. They're talking about the price of food at the grocery store. They're talking about the price of goods and services. You know, maybe somebody's trying to build a house and they can't even get lumber. You know, they're talking about the fact that we are maybe, quite possibly, a month away from this country not having any diesel fuel. And if you run out of diesel fuel, trains don't run, trucks don't run, deliveries don't get made, food doesn't get to the grocery store, and this country is screwed, blued, and tattooed.
And another thing they're talking about that people sometimes forget, education. The parents are now united together against this wokeism crap. They want reading, writing, arithmetic, you know, science brought back into the schools. They don't want gender studies. They don't want drag queens reading to children. The parents have had it. Education is also a key factor for November 8th.
Huge.
And so is the southern border. We are sick and tired of open borders because that's what the border is right now, folks, no matter how the Democrats want to twist it. And we're also sick and tired of a so-called border czar who has yet to be to the border.
You look at the situation on our southern border, it's astounding. It's astounding. You know, the situation down there for those border towns, they're getting so inundated down there. Those towns are about to fold up. Their businesses are going away. People are moving away from those border towns in Texas. You know, meanwhile, you send 50 of them to Martha's Vineyard, and Martha's Vineyard has a conniption fit.
Yeah, even though they have signs that they welcome everybody and that they're inclusive, only when it serves their own purpose where they look like they are. But you forget something. I would almost guarantee you that Obama had a say in getting those people off there in less than 24 hours.
Oh, yeah, you think?
I think.
You think? I mean, you know, his $12 million estate there, whatever it is. Yeah, he doesn't want those people on his lawn.
No. So he definitely had a say in getting that done as fast as it did. So it just goes to show you what hypocrites these liberals are. You want to build yourself as a sanctuary state and a sanctuary city and a sanctuary island? Well, then you have to, you know, accept what's coming to you. 50. You don't want it. Then don't say you're that. And at the debate, I mean, the debate, the town hall last night at Hannity, Ron DeSantis sort of gave some hints that more are coming.
Yeah, he didn't pull back on that.
And
rightly so. Mm-hmm. But they've got Obama in Pennsylvania today doing damage control for Fetterman.
And then they're going to it's tonight because I'm looking at the calendar here. They're hosted by Obama, a big fundraiser for Fetterman.
They need to hold a telethon for that guy.
No, that guy needs to be in a nursing home or a recovery center.
That's what I mean. People that are in that bad of shape, they usually have a telethon for them. You don't want to turn out like John Fetterman. Give money.
No, the thing with, you know, he had a massive stroke. Okay, he has no control over that. He had a massive stroke. But at least, again, he has a wife just like Jill Biden that's egging him and pushing him on because she would eventually become senator. Remember, even Biden slipped about that last week, you know, in one of his weekly guffaws.
Yeah, he told Fetterman's wife, you'll be great in the Senate.
Yeah, I mean, Fetterman should be in a rehabilitation center, period.
That's it.
He had a major stroke, not a minor, not a TIA. He had a major full-blown bleed-out stroke. He should not be running for senator.
But he's the best the liberals could find in the entire state of Pennsylvania.
I guess.
You know, I mean, what does that tell you about the level of liberals in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania?
It tells you desperation.
Well, speaking of desperation, Joe Biden was on stage yesterday telling a laundry list of lies. It was a litany of lying yesterday, and it all got started when he started talking about inflation. And he stood there on that stage on camera and said that, you know, inflation is down. It's down. No, it's not.
Well, what his actual words were, he said, America isn't experiencing record inflation anymore, which is, pure BS, because we are in the midst of an 8.2 spike in prices across the board. And I believe it's 20 years. We are now at the highest mortgage rates in 20 years. It's over 7%.
Let me tell you how inflation is affecting the housing market. Okay, if you, let's say a year ago, you wanted to buy a $750,000 house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you took out a 30-year loan to buy a $750,000 house. And then you wound up with a mortgage payment of something like $1,300-$1,400 a month. Okay. Today, if you go take out the same loan for the same house, your mortgage payment's going to be $2,500. Okay. Mm-hmm. So for the same money you could have spent last year on a $750,000 home, now you can only afford a $400,000 home, which is more of a home than I live in. But, you know, nonetheless, that's what inflation's doing to the housing market.
Well, it's not only that in the sense of the monetary unit. The person who bought a few years ago a $750,000 house expected a pretty big size house.
Right.
You know, like 3,000 plus square feet. Now, that $750,000 is buying you a smaller, much smaller home than it did.
That's right. You go from $750,000 home to a $400,000 home for the exact same money. You know it's going to be a downsized home.
Yeah.
You know, what you could have gotten.
And people are not happy. Plus, you know, manufacturing jobs, construction jobs, it's hurting straight down the line. Yet we have a president who's standing up there saying, it's not so bad. Yeah, it is, Joe.
It's getting worse. All the indicators are it's going to get worse.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, now, and then his other lie, he had another lie that night, Craig.
Okay.
He said, you know, when he took office, the price of a gallon of gasoline was over $5. That is absolutely 100% not true. When he took office, gas was $2.39.
So he missed it by that much.
He just can't stop his lying.
Diane, that wasn't the only other lie either. He also
a litany of them.
Yeah, one of the whoppers was he stood there and told a story. You know, old homespun Joe.
Yeah.
Was telling a story about his first wife and how when he was in college in Delaware that he had a starting job on the Delaware University football team, and he gave it up so that he could date his wife. Listen, A, he was never a starter for the University of Delaware.
True.
B, True. Delaware didn't let freshmen play. They had a freshman team back then, and he was on the freshman team. And C, the reason he left was because his dad told him, you're quitting football because his GPA was under 2.0.
That's right. Remember, Joe Biden has a pretty checkered past, you know, cheating and all
plagiarism.
Sorts of things. Plagiarism, yeah. I mean, you're not dealing with, you know, somebody that's clean cut and forward and truth telling. Joe Biden's whole political existence has been a series of lies.
And stupidity, you know.
Yeah.
So he goes through this whole speech, one lie after the next, after the next, after the next, after the next. None of it, none of what he was saying was true. At one point in the whole thing, he let loose the tell that the meds were wearing off. He started that whispering, that creepy, creepy whispering.
Oh, yeah.
And when he was done, Senator... I think it was Gillibrand. She had to show him to his chair, which was 5 feet from the podium. He couldn't find the chair.
Yeah, Jill wasn't around. She was off her nursing duty that day, I guess. I mean, it's pathetic to watch this, but I still say the only reason that they haven't 25th amendmented him out is because look what's waiting in the wings.
Exactly.
Kamala.
Yeah, that's exactly
right. It's
the only
reason. It's the only reason.
Can you, yeah. I mean, it, last week he got done with a speech and he couldn't find his way off the stage. Last night he got done with a speech and he couldn't find the chair he was supposed to sit on 5 feet away.
How about the other night when he fell asleep for a couple of seconds?
In the middle of answering a question.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous what's going on now. And guys, we got, you know, a little more than, week and a half to set things right. Because if we take back both houses, they're impotent politically to do anything. Yes, he still has the power of the veto, but they're now talking about us getting enough seats in the Senate that we might be able to even override vetoes.
I don't think we're going to have that many, because to override a veto, you got to have 2/3. And I don't think we're going to get that many right now. But I'll tell you what, if you look at some of the polling that's coming out, and polling, I don't trust all of it.
No, of course not.
But if you look at some of the numbers that are coming out right now, oh, it's bad for the liberals. Oh, boy, it's bad. You brought it up earlier when we were talking about Marco and Ron DeSantis. They're way up in double digits. And you look at some of the other...
Yeah, and that's unheard of. That's unheard of, to be that far ahead.
You look at some of the other races over there in Georgia, Herschel Walker's up by 5.
I know. He was down last week, and now he's done a major comeback here.
Yeah, the more you allow these liberals to talk and spew their nonsense, the worse it gets for them, and they don't see it. They don't understand it. They don't think the problem's the message. They think it's the messaging.
Right.
And that's why they bring Obama to Pennsylvania. Well, it wasn't anything John Fetterman said. He just... didn't get it out there right, so we're going to bring in Obama to clear it up. Well, you can't clear it up if you don't even know what the guy was saying.
It's not only that. Obama is kind of like Hillary. They're old news. How many people, even though we know Obama's behind Biden and all this stuff going on, these are Obama's policies, does anyone really care about him anymore?
That's a good question, because he's not drawing the kind of crowds that he used to draw.
Not even close. And that's very telling. People are tired. The independent voters are now swinging more towards Republican. Some Democrats are going Republican because they're smart enough to know it's about the economy. It's about education.
Crime.
And they just, crime, of course, crime. And I'm the funniest thing, when Val Demings was debating Marco, and here it is, oh, she's all for the police because she was a police captain and this and that. The woman voted with Pelosi to defund the police.
Yeah, I mean, do they realize that there are such a thing as microphones and cameras, and everybody's got a video camera because they got their cell phones now? Are they aware that YouTube exists? Because all of this stuff, even their voting record, is a matter of record.
Well, the best one was, and I think it was DeSantis who spoke about this, they caught Chucky and Nancy telling Biden in an open mic moment that it doesn't look good in certain states that they thought they were going to take.
Including Pennsylvania.
Right. Chucky actually said it does not look good in Arizona or Pennsylvania.
Well, and they were talking about Herschel down in Georgia. So I can't believe people are going to vote for Herschel Walker. Well, they're going to vote for Herschel Walker because he's got common sense.
Yeah, that was caught on open mic. They are desperate. That's why they need Obama to go out there. If you want democracy and if you, you know, the woman's right to choose, here it is. You have an ex-president of the United States who doesn't even know that we're not a democracy, we're a republic. That should say everything right there.
Well, and you're hoping or thinking, you know, there's an outside possibility that we might get a veto-proof Senate, and I don't see that happening, but I'll tell you what I'll settle for is not veto proof at this point, but M&M proof.
I'll settle for Kamala proof, her breaking any ties.
I want to go M&M proof. Mitch.
What's
and
that?
Mitch and Mitt proof, because those two idiots.
Mitt's not up now. Mitt's not up yet.
I'm not saying Mitt's up. I'm saying he's there. And Mitch and Mitt can upend a vote and a deal faster than any two people I know that have an R after their names. If we can get enough senators there so that if they vote stupid, like Mitch voted stupid on this last big tax and spend bill, we've got enough to balance that out and so they can't ruin a comeback.
Well,
I want it to be M&M proof.
53. We've got to get to 53, and then that's it. But Romney, if he has any idea of running again, and I believe he does, he better start, you know, stepping in line here and doing the right thing.
But you know he's
so
not.
So he might not be as vulnerable as McConnell. I don't know, but the magic number is 53. If we get 53, that keeps us out of Kamala's hands.
And I think we can get to 53, and I think we might even get to 54.
Even better.
You know, but if we're M&M proof, okay, Mitch and Mitt can't sink the ship.
True.
And that's what I want. I want to be M&M proof.
That's true. Okay. Doesn't melt in your mouth. Okay.
Exactly.
Or melt in your hands. It doesn't melt in your hands, M&M.
Folks, we have plumb run out of time here tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Fastest hour in radio.
So, well, next week we have two good segments for you guys. And mine deals with a certain October surprise that we kind of knew was coming. Well, it's here. And Craig, only you could describe yours.
I'll just say it this way. I'm going on a full-blown snark attack, and you don't want to miss it.
Yeah, it's funny, folks. It really is.
Time to say goodnight, Diane.
Nighty night, guys.
Good night, everybody. Have a great weekend. We'll catch up with you again on Tuesday. Bye-bye.